All right, we are back in session at 7:25. All right, next up on the agenda. We really don't have any visitors tonight, other than Diane, who we spoke about. So, done with that. Presentations. The Marysville High School is Mr. Crispin.
We're here.
Presentation this evening.
Good evening, members of the board, superintendent, treasurer, and the few folks that are not MHS staff members. This is our month to present, and with me tonight are members of the science department. I'll get that. Without further ado, because I've received several emails over the last 2 weeks saying, remind your people, 10 to 15 minutes. So without further ado, I'll turn it over to our outstanding department chair, Stephanie Linder.
I'll go man the computer.
Well, I speak for Matt as well, that we're excited to be here tonight. I'll quickly introduce, we have pretty much our whole department here. We have one, Ethan Ogle couldn't be here tonight, he's attending graduate classes, always seeking for excellence. So, so we have myself, Stephanie Linder, we have Ryan Gross, Michelle Moffitt, John Carter, Sarah Tondra, Brooke Kelly, Jason Worth, J.R. Cooper, and Pete Kane. So we're excited to be here.
First slide.
Okay. So the state core curricula is changing, and the new emphasis for the core curricular classes will be kind of moving towards project-based learning, doing more science through inquiry-based techniques, and again, increasing the rigor of the content. So what we're here to show tonight is some of the things that are already happening in our department that we think are moving in this direction, some new things that we're trying that we hope are integrating technology. We're pretty excited. We've had some people that have kind of stepped out of the box and taken on some really great projects that are really working out, and they're going to have a chance to kind of explain that tonight. So that's really where we are, and I'm just going to kind of let them tell you more about what they are doing in particular. So thanks.
Hi, Jason Worth, kind of a big deal. Okay, I'll try to elaborate on this in less than 17.6 seconds, so we'll see what we got. Basically, what I'm doing is I'm flipping the classroom, which means I no longer lecture in class, okay? I noticed throughout the years that as I lectured the whole groups, the retention was around 50% at the maximum. It's just the way, the nature of the beast. So what I did is I've recorded me and my daughter actually teaching chemistry on the computer, and I bought a tablet, I bought a webcam through a grant through PPG Industries. Shout out to my wife, she works there. And what I do is I write on the screen and do all kinds of problems for them, and the kids watch that as their homework. And then when they come into class, we basically do hands-on learning, problem solving, and all kinds of stuff like that. So what I've got here is I got an example, and this is just a snippet of certain ones that I've tried. So Mr. Chris, if you'll click that real quick, we'll get that rolling. Let's see, here it goes. We have the sound on?
Roger.
Roger. Jason.
Are all your lectures this interesting?
Yeah. This is actually the most exciting one. All right, we're ready, I think, now.
Yeah.
And
is this already played through?
All right.
And your time's up. Yeah.
Thanks for coming, everybody. Have a good night.
Wow.
That worked 100 times on the way here, I think.
I know. Start play through.
How about escape, get the program out of there, and start the program again? What do you say?
Okay.
Ready?
Maybe. Everything escape.
Should have bought a Mac computer.
Yeah.
Yes. I locked it up.
Yes.
Is it a scroll?
There we go. All right.
This is my backyard. I'm over my 3 minutes. Not responding.
That's not.
We didn't know that.
There you go. So So we're here to talk about technology. How we're using it in the classroom.
It's a teachable moment right here. Right,
right? Here, here it is. This is, I actually set this up as a problem-solving activity for Mr. Crispin. Learning by doing, folks.
I'm feeling a C minus about right now.
Oh, he's not close to a C minus.
Okay, here we go.
All right. I think we're ready to roll now. All right, here we go. This is it. I feel it. There it is.
Ah.
All right, there's my daughter on the left. Here we go.
Today we're going to learn some math that we're going to use in chemistry throughout the rest of the year. You ready?
So like one of the topics I just chose was metric word right here.
Kilo.
Kilo.
H.
Hecto.
Hecto. G.
Hecto.
And then we got base up here like so.
See, so I can write on the screen so the kids can kind of see how to do that.
We
can zoom in on certain things and we can circle things in there. There you go.
Very good, because it has five
One thing the kids can do is that they can pause it and watch it multiple times. So I just threw this in just for fun.
Find lithium.
So if you need to find lithium, there's a routine right there. Okay? So the thing I talk about with the students is that if they're in class and if they're trying to pay attention and a person talks to them and I'm up at the board talking, they can't rewind them. Okay, so even though they weren't the one that was not talking, even though they weren't talking, the student talking to them distracted them. They can't rewind me. With this method, a train could go through your living room, and if you hit pause, the train's gone. You can hit play again. You miss nothing, and you can watch it again and again. So that's what the kids watch at home. You also have some homework blocks at home, but not very many. Bless you. So that's what they watch at home. Now, what I'll do is I'll show you this. So the reason why I bring this in is a lot of people think, well, if you're the podcaster at home, then you're probably doing nothing in class. You're sitting on your desk and doing nothing. So if you click here, I'll show you what I actually do in a class. I've sped this up using the software I bought with that grant.
There's
a little song to it. Some of the elements. This is 5 minutes of a 90-minute class. Okay. You can see, they're actually doing a lab right now. Actually, we were doing three chemical reactions. I said I should probably make sure that everyone's burned their metal correctly. She wasn't. She did now. This sounds a lot better than surround sound. Good-looking guy coming up. There he is. And then after the lab was over, we went in and we started doing problems. Now, these are homework problems that the kids have trouble with at home, and mom and dad can't help them, so it's a good thing for them to do homework in class to actually so I can help them out. As you see, I just go around table to table and see if anybody's got any problems, stuff like that, and I hit every single table, and I can do a lot more one-on-one with the kids, whereas it would have been 45 minutes that would not have been spent at the end of lectures every day. So you can see how that works. They're balancing an equation now. This kid right here came in for help with calculus. So I helped him. There you go. There you go. So essentially, we had 90 minutes, three chemical reactions, problem solving, hands-on learning, help with homework, and absolutely no whole class lecture. Go Bobcats. There you go. All right? So there's certain things that we like about the flipped classroom and why we believe it works. We've seen data. We did a survey. Mrs. Condra was nice enough to send out a survey to her parents and her students, and we got great responses from the both of them that they really enjoyed it. They thought it was better than the regular rigmarole of classroom lecture. Kids today don't learn that way, and I think it's up to teachers to really evolve to adapt to the way kids learn. I know when I was in school, my parents, I didn't like learning the same way. Nobody really liked learning the way you learn. But you know, our parents said, that's just the way it is, shut up and do it. I don't think that's the way it should be anymore. I think we should really adapt to the students and really make it fun for them to actually come to school. So the survey that we did was actually great. We compared last year's data to this year's data. We didn't, since the board meeting was so soon, we went ahead and did a survey just up to chapter 6 at once. So if you could click that, and I'll show you a graph of what we have. These are the four tests that we had taken before I did the data, and these are all percentages. And the first and second semester you see on the left is essentially last year, and first semester and second semester C on the right is this year. And you can see, no matter which one you're looking at, the test scores are much better percentages for this year where we're flipping the classroom versus last year where we weren't. The kids have, with more one-on-one time, are getting much better scores. I'm seeing a much better understanding. Even if their scores are not great on the test, I still see it that at this point in time, nobody's got their heads down saying, I don't like this stuff, I can't learn anymore, I give up. I don't see that anymore. So it's just a lot better, I think. So that's our data with the flipped classroom, and I don't want to take any more time. So there you go. All right? If you got any questions, you can come see me or anything like that.
So do you guys share videos?
We share videos.
So, I mean, so you'll make it for one lecture and then everyone uses it?
Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing. So we try to use, I was going to use, there's one thing called a Khan Academy. And that's where I got the idea from. And it's just one guy out there that does it, but it's extremely boring. There's no way a kid that doesn't want to learn would go on there. So I thought I'd jazz them up a little bit, kind of do some things like that. Kids learn a lot better with people that they know of, too. They wouldn't mm-hmm. just go to a stranger and say, I think I can learn from this guy. So they do that.
So where do you post those at?
They're all on YouTube, and I also have them on the shared drive to the high school, so they can go to any computer in the high school and watch it. If they have study skills, it's really working out great for inclusion. They go to their study skills classes, they watch it, they can watch it in the library. They can download it on their iPods, they can do it on their phones. I don't want to take too much time, but I mean,
no,
like
right.
the actual, the way I really tested to see if it worked was that my daughter, not that one you saw in the video, but my middle daughter, she could not understand subtraction with borrowing. So I tried to teach her, and we were sitting at the kitchen table, and I tried it 100 times, and she's crying and throwing things at me. I'm like, she doesn't like it. So I actually did that, made a podcast just for my daughter of how to subtract, and I gave it to her in the car on the way to the doctor's appointment, and she was in the back seat and watched it on my phone, and she got it. And I was like, okay, it works. So I was like, she liked virtual me better than real me. So, but kids like that stuff. They like to, it's like watching TV, and it's like, you know, computer-based, and they really like watching on their iPods. It's really nice. I just want to keep talking.
That's a shot. No, that just seems to be how our kids are getting all their information. I mean, they're more in tune with devices
yeah.
and stuff like that.
Definitely.
So,
So continuing on with the technology part of it and using the websites and everything else, I have students that take a typical inquiry-based lab in my chemistry class. I pose a problem to them, and I tell them they have, as a group, have to come up with their procedure to solve the problem, write up a lab report, and do everything else. Well, what we've now done is we've actually made it an online lab report. They audio tape or videotape themselves discussing how are they going to solve this problem. So I get to actually see them interacting together as a group, because as a whole class, I can only hear about one table at a time, and by the time I get to the other table, they're probably already on to step 7 and 8 instead of just the beginning. Well, what we've done is you can go down at the example. These are a couple student-made websites. This one was a flame test. They had to come up with what color were the different atoms giving off when they became excited. These are student pictures that they took during the lab. They came up, typed up what the purpose was, what materials they used, and what their procedure was. They included the pictures, and then if you go down, scroll down a bit, we have the atomic spectrum emission for each thing. They went online, found these, incorporated them, because they had to show our spectrometers in class are ancient and none of them really work very well. So for them to actually see what the colors are given off at what wavelength, they found those, and then there are questions that they had to actually answer. Those questions they answered as a group, and then they post them on here. This group had issues with the video getting on and linking, and we worked through them, which is great to see the students coming and bringing ideas on how to work around it and everything else. So if you would exit out of this one and go to the next one, I'd like to show you another example. So we're using that inquiry base where I pose a problem and they have to completely solve it. I'm not really even there. I'm as a safety guide, really, to kind of steer them in the right direction without giving them any answers at all, and they dislike me very much for it. Because they're like, well, will this work? And I go, I don't know. Yes, you do. Yes, I do, but I'm not answering that. So this is another group. They have all of their labs on here. We've done a kaleidoscope lab, qualitative analysis lab. There's about 4 of them, 5 of them up there. For each chapter, they've done a lab. where they have gone through, they've taken pictures themselves, they've audio taped themselves, and it gives me great insight into the mind of the high school student, how they're processing that information. And you get a lot more summatives and formative assessment through that interaction online instead of just, hey, take this written test. I can actually see them discussing how their minds are working back and forth, what's going to work and what's not. So I love this technology piece of the students making their own lab group online lab reports.
Cool. Okay. I'm here. I wanted to talk a little bit about a program I instituted just about 10 weeks ago called Evernote. Evernote is an online portfolio. Basically, we used to have kids keep three-ring binders with all their papers and notebooks and things in it, and I wanted to take a way to take that hard copy and make it digital. I think it's extremely important to start to speak to kids in languages that they understand. And we've already discussed a little bit about devices and things, the way that they work, their minds work. And I wanted to take all of their learning and put it online someplace where they can do two things with it: access it at all times, but also as a compilation of their work. And one of the things that as teachers and administrators and as a school district we're going through is, how much have our students grown? Is taking evidence and proving how much have you grown from the beginning to the end? And this is a way that students are able to actually take the things that they've done in the classroom and put them onto an online platform that they can access. And what I have my kids and students do is to write down every day on this online platform things that they've done in class. They have the ability to type on there. They can make audio notes. They can actually make video notes of themselves. The thing I like about the program is if they input it on a computer at home, this, all of that information can pull up on their cell phone or on a tablet. And so it becomes very practical. They can put it on one device and use it on all of the other devices. They can share their own portfolio with me. So I'm able to, at any point, look in the student's binder, per se, and see how they're doing, see what their progress is. At this point, that's what we've done in my classroom. The next step is to take all of their work, their actual papers and worksheets and tests, scan them into this program, and then it literally becomes the online three-ring binder. And you can measure that and see where they were at day one. Now at the end of the class, or a different check mark, now you can see how they've grown both writing skills, their work, and kind of get a bigger compilation of everything that they've done. As a teacher, I make a notebook, and I share it with my students. And so I put my lesson plans, I put what we did in class that day. I can take a video of myself or an audio note similar to our podcast and really share a lot of different things with our students. And so students that are absent or out of the classroom for whatever reason, instead of coming back the next day and saying, what did we do in class, they have it. They can be in their car, they can be wherever they're at, and really see what we did in class. The next step for me is putting all of those assignments and worksheets and documents on my own portfolio, so then they have it, and they can utilize that. So it's something that it's infancy stages with us, but I think it's something that really speaks to our students being the 21st century type learning students that we want to really gear them towards. And I'm also just going to talk a little bit about Twitter. I know Twitter sometimes can scare some people. We have used it a little bit in our science and in the high school in general. We've used it as a way for students to really have some collaboration going on. They can speak with other students, not just in their classroom, but within all of the biology students. We can create groups on the Twitter program where they can have discussions about various topics. They can access and actually speak with people in other countries or in different states. Educators across the board, a lot of principals and board members and superintendents have their own Twitter where they're able to communicate about educational things as well as scientific topics. And it goes right along there with a blog on the same lines of being able to take what we're doing in the classroom and expand it to where now students aren't just Marysville High School students. They're global students. They're able to access and have carry-on conversations with students across the nation and across the world, and that is super important for our students in this 21st century. So those are just a couple programs that we've used in our science program in our science high school.
Hold on.
So when you talk about using Evernote, if I'm a student, how do I access that while I'm in class?
I actually allow all my students to pull out their cell phones or their iPads that
okay.
they have. And what I've found is it's changed the way that I've taught.
Sure.
Because before, here's my slide, here's what I'm talking about that day, let me write that down. And so we got to pause. And when I first started doing this, I noticed they're all scrolling through the PowerPoint with me, which is excellent because I can go at my own speed. We can go a little bit faster. They have the information. I don't have to worry about them writing it down. And again, it kind of helps us, like Jason was saying, if they don't understand something, they can go back to it and they can see it. Where some of our more traditional methods is we write it on the board and then we erase it. And so even when I do write on my chalkboard, which I have a chalkboard, I tell them, come take a picture of my chalkboard.
Right.
Come take a picture of it and put that in your notebook and put that in your Evernote because that's your notes. You don't need to write it down now. Take a picture of it and you have that. So it's literally what I've written and what I want them to know, and there's no miscommunication, translation, and they haven't missed anything. They have everything that I've asked them to have record down.
Does our, I guess maybe more of a question for Matt or somebody else, does our policy on use of devices in our schools support that kind of learning?
At this point, it does
we're,
not.
We're bending.
But I think, and I've used it, and I've been very clear with our students, I think it's something that I know that there's been a lot of discussion on. I've used it as a trial basis, and I've spoken with a lot of our administrators on how it's going in the room, and I've had nothing but positive experience with it. I think in the future, and I'm not sure what the time frame is, but I do think that that's going to change. But I've stressed with the students that with those kind of privileges comes responsibility, and you have to be responsible with using devices.
So you certainly sound like you're a good, I guess, lab business plan for making that proposal to change it. I mean, it sounds like something that we need to do as well, is maybe kind of move our policies up a little bit to help support that.
I'll be honest, I had some big-time fears with saying, okay, let's use these phones. Are you going to be texting or calling? What is it that you're really going to be doing? But when you give them a focus and say, here's what we're doing, and you give them the tools to be able to do that, I think that allowing them to do that and help and saying, we trust you, we feel and give you some responsibility, that makes them a lot proud. But it makes them feel proud to be able to use those things and say, okay, I like that you feel some responsibility in me, and I'm not going to use it. So I think across the board, there's been I've experienced a lot of positives with that. And I've told them, at this point in time, you know, rules are rules, but within these walls, let's see how it works.
Well, it seems to me if we're going to push our kids to use technology and learn on those particular things, we would kind of want to, they've already got those devices to use, why do we need to?
I agree, and some of the challenges that we come across with this are the students who don't have the devices.
That was my next question.
They don't have the smartphone, they don't have the tablet, they don't have a way. I've worked with some students, I have a couple computers, and so I've told students, take your time and go on there when you can. Ideally, in an ideal world, every student would have a laptop or a notebook, but we'd have 4 to 5 or 6 in a classroom so students can do these things that we're talking about.
Sure. Well, like, what do you do? You have a, you know, you give a group of,
yeah.
They have to do this project online.
I give them a day, I tell them ahead of time, this is going to be your online lab. My students use their cell phones, they bring in tablets, or they bring in, like, an actual audio recorder, like an old school one.
Right.
Then we've got to find the cord.
But what if they don't have that kind of stuff?
So far, I haven't had any issues because they're bigger groups. And out of the group of four, someone always says, hey, I've got my iPhone, and they pull it out, and it's actually very good quality. So far, it's worked out really well.
So what do you do, Mr. Worth, when your lectures are online and I don't have a computer? Huh?
It is tough to think of that. Most of the time, I've only had one issue where a kid did not have access to high-speed internet. He actually had a computer but did not have an internet. But
He basically borrowed my flash drive, took all the lectures home, put them on his computer, and they were there.
Yeah.
He
very cool.
At all.
Plus, we have study halls, and they're on the shared drive, so they can come in during.
Well, I think the nice thing about you know the podcast is you know when you're ready to sit down. Like for me, sometimes you know I have to watch videos and stuff for work when I do work. but there's sometimes when I just don't have time, you know, I want to do it at night, you know, when I'm sitting at home and I'm relaxed.
On the bus ride to
attention.
The volleyball game.
Exactly. Exactly.
There's
so
a million ways you could do it.
Exactly.
And you don't have to do it at 7:30 in the morning. You don't have to do it at, you know, nobody wants to listen to a lecture at 7:15 in the morning. So,
I know.
That's the beautiful thing. You can watch it whenever you want. But you can watch half of it before dinner, half of it after dinner, whatever you want to do.
Part of it is, too, is teaching the kids the responsibility of when it's appropriate to use those devices and when it's not.
Right.
So if we've given some of the flexibility to do so, that gives them the power to use those. But then, you know, we're still letting them know that even if we are talking traditionally or we're doing some other things, there's a time and a place because it's so pervasive. They're everywhere. So we're hoping that incorporating this lets them know that, yes, there is an appropriate time. Other times they need to be focused and have those devices away and so they're not tempted to, you know, chat or do whatnot. But so far it's been...
And my students
been
love
positive.
Getting out the technology and actually using it. They've gotten so, you know, most of the time you're just, oh, another lab. But now it's like, oh, when do we videotape? You know, because they get to hear each other talking and they get to interact and they seem to really enjoy the online lab reports.
They like flaunting it in the face of the principal. I walked into Steph's class and they were all using their cell phones to do, they were doing some kind of review.
We can do polls or we can do assessments.
And there was a collective, when I walked in the room, relax, take a deep breath, continue back.
Anybody got the score?
Yeah.
Ultimately, we would love to see it incorporated somehow or maybe a kid could, I don't know, school fee or whatever, could somehow be able to have access to a tablet. Maybe through the course of their 4 years, they would be able to pay for that, and everybody would have something that they would need that could be incorporated.
That was what I was going to add on to John's was that, I mean, the technology he's talking about, my technology, Sarah's technology, all those could be integrated together. We could be having my podcast on the Evernote. We could have the lab write-ups they do on the Evernote. Everything could be tied in together in one final little digital device. And the other thing I was thinking about was his, we have these projectors. Right now you have a projector up there, and you know not every classroom has a projector in our school. You don't need projectors anymore. If you put it into the budget of they have a tablet, everybody's got an iPad or something like that, they watch it right there on their desk. You only need a classroom set or even half a classroom set. They can share them. You no longer need to buy textbooks anymore. That's a huge budget crunch right there for our district. There's free online books. We could go into that forever. John has done extensive research on free online books that you actually have the text and you put your videos right after the text. So you can have the kids read it, watch a video of what they just read. So many different free devices that are out there that could be saving this district a lot of money based on this technology.
Paper.
And
you wouldn't have any paper.
Well, it seems, and not only it saves money, besides the point, they seem to learn a lot better using that.
And
I mean, I think that's the point.
Well,
I mean,
you've
got
to make sure the kids want to.
And
that's the biggest problem, is that kids don't want to come where it's just traditional junk. They want to come and use their phones. They want to come and use their, you know. So that's what they want to do. So there's a lot of things that we would like to do together. And you can see that all these things can be integrated, but we just don't really have a lot of time to get together, and we're really busy. And we'd hardly, this is the most time I've spent with the science department. It's
yeah,
a big school, and we're not
in
the same
life.
Place, so it's tough.
So this is all the science department that's doing this in some fashion or another.
What's been interesting with this group, though, they're leading the building, and they're getting the attention of their colleagues because kids are talking, it's spreading into. You know, I've been meeting with teachers doing post observations, and they're talking about, you know, I was thinking about doing one of those things that Jason Worth is doing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? And that type of thing. So it's they're paving the way, and folks are excited about it. The colleagues are excited about it.
Well, I would be very interested as a board to do whatever we have to do on policy wise to kind of support that. I'm definitely in favor.
You mentioned the electronic devices.
Mm-hmm.
Policy and we're going through a full revision of our handbook, and that's a big one, as well as the traditional dress code and all that other fun stuff. But that's a big one that I think the staff is finally there. They see the potential in the classroom for those things. So I look for a significant change.
Fantastic. Well, thank you all for all that you do. That is just great. So appreciate it. Thank you. And if you don't want to stay for the rest of this, you're welcome to go. It doesn't get any more interesting than that, I can tell you that.
No, it does not. All right.
Games are on. Sorry.
I understand.
I can send you the link if you'd like to watch this.
I'm fairly certain I'm fine. Maybe I'll learn something on Mr. Wirth's podcast.
You will. I can assure you, you will learn something.
I know where lithium is on the chart now.
That is awesome.
The element chart.
I don't think I watched that.
There'd be a little bit more room in here now, doesn't it? Probably cool off in here a little bit.
I know. It's kind of warm.
I'm not sure what he's doing out there. All right, well, we'll just move on. Are you ready for the legislative report?
Yes, I am. There really isn't much of anything. There isn't anything new since last month.
I find that hard to believe.
I know. Other than what Cindy sent out today, from which I haven't even had an opportunity to read from what the governor was talking about. Was that yesterday?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was yesterday. Mm-hmm. But there really isn't anything other than that. There was a local government job fund piece of, and there's actually several of those introduced yesterday. And another one, House Bill 471, had gone into finance and appropriations. One item, the controlling board approved a new fund, an established appropriation for $1.37 million in this fiscal year. $6.82 million in fiscal year 2013 for a Race to the Top Early Learning Challenge grant. So they put some money in there. But other than that, the other couple pieces of legislation we talked about last time with the school pilot program,
mm-hmm.
for Montgomery County to operate certain for-profit activities. You know, those are in health education, but nothing else.
That's it, eh?
That's it.
All right. Is there anybody on the nobody on the list? Would anybody like to address the board at this time?
I do.
All right. Last call? Okay. We're moving on. Our next up, as we started our last meeting, I would like to get through our school board operating protocols tonight, if we could. And I know you all worked diligently to go through them. I know you did. Last time we left off at number six on your list. And I sent you the revised version. Were there any issues with 1 through 6 as I modified them to reflect our discussion?
Nothing major.
Okay.
Just a couple of periods.
I understand. Just send those to me. Okay. Next up then, we're going to roll through these then. Board members will accept responsibility for all decision, regardless of how an individual voted. Everybody okay with that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, check that out. Individual board members do not have authority. Only the board as a whole has authority. We agree that as individual board members, we will not take unilateral action. That makes sense?
Makes sense.
The only question I'd have for you is that I don't think the last sentence even makes sense, because you have no authority to take any action individually.
That's kind of it.
And so it almost doesn't make sense. Right? You know, your authority comes from you as a body and the majority speaker.
Okay. So
I'm not sure that you would need that.
Okay. Put that out. Everybody okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, number nine, board members shall respect the confidentiality of all privileged information, including that discussed in executive session. Yes?
There would be something that I would like to add to that.
Absolutely.
And shall take no action that might compromise the board.
What does that mean? Well, I mean, I know what that means, but I'm not sure.
Well, I guess I think there needs to be a big emphasis on the confidentiality as a portion of, you know, the duty of loyalty, the fiduciary duties, because what is discussed in executive session has to remain confidential. And maybe it's just that there's not enough emphasis on there.
See, I thought you could change, instead of including, say, especially discussed in executive session, because there are some firm expectations about executive session.
There are criminal charges. If
you didn't bring that ORC code in.
I did not bring the ORC code. I have it, but it's over. Right. It's a big deal.
All right, so does that, if we change that to especially, does that?
Yes, that's fine.
That's fine? Okay, so that's good for me. All right, number 10. We will base our decisions on the available facts and our independent judgment, not yielding to individuals or special interest groups, and keeping in mind the interests of all the district students.
That one, we'll base our decisions on the available facts and our independent judgment, comma, always keeping in mind the interests of all of the district students and not yielding to individuals or special interest groups.
I
didn't like having that not and then going back to, right, like a negative and then going back to a positive kind of a thing. And I wanted to make sure that always keeping in mind the interests of the district students.
Okay. Yep, no, that's good. You're going to have to email that to me.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to write that down.
Okay.
Okay. So everybody's okay with that, the way it's changing?
Yes.
As you're doing that, you're making note, I'm sure, in your own head. That's your toughest one. That's one of your toughest ones, because that's the five phone calls you get about an issue that they want to, in effect, have you abdicate your vote to them.
Sure.
That's the one you're going to have to really come back to a lot, I think. Those of you that have been on the board, you know that.
I do.
And we're learning quickly.
That's right. Okay, number 11. The board will establish the vision, create policies, and assure accountability. The superintendent will manage the schools. That makes sense?
Yeah.
That's just the one that kind of establishes the separation. All right, 12. The superintendent is the chief executive officer and should recommend, propose, or suggest on items that go before the board.
Can you delete the word on?
Yeah, I thought that didn't make sense now that I read it out loud. I was typing it out, like, that makes perfect sense. But yes, complete that. All right, communication between staff and board is encouraged when initiated by staff members. Board members will initiate formal communication about school district business with staff members through the superintendent. Everybody okay with that?
Mm-hmm. Now, you know that common sense says that, of course, that does not have any effect when you need to talk to a teacher or somebody about your child.
The parent hat always comes on first.
Obviously, you're wearing your parent hat then.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's what, formal communication. I think that's formal communication is more. Okay. All right, number 14. Board requests, and I don't know why that's in there.
Yeah,
you just take that out.
Start it.
Yeah. Individual board member requests that will likely require considerable time or have political implications are to be directed to the superintendent or board president.
What exactly is political implications? I mean, that's kind of...
It's going to be something that's going to be... what's the word I'm looking for?
Controversial.
Thank you. Controversial. I apologize. I couldn't think of it. Yes. I would say controversial or visible or however you want to put that.
Considerable time or maybe change that somehow instead of
potentially
just saying, instead
controversial.
Just, yeah,
potentially
yeah,
controversial issue.
Yeah.
Would you want the treasurer in there for fiscal information? Superintendent, treasurer in, or board president?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
yeah,
that could be.
Yeah. Yep. Superintendent. Treasurer, board president. Everybody all right with that?
Yep.
Okay. The last stop, not the first stop, will be the board.
I want to go back to that one.
All right.
Just a second. It might be helpful to place in that are to be directed, it might be nice to put in just the word only there, only to the superintendent, the treasurer, or the board president, because you're trying to get that idea across. Mm-hmm. You don't go with board business to one of the administrators. They're not used to that, and they won't push back against you like the treasurer will, you know, or the superintendent.
Well, it's really out of chain command as well.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. yeah, but I just think you put them in a difficult situation when you do that. Because they don't always know how to respond to it.
I agree. Is that all on that one? The last up, not the first, will be the board. We agree to follow the chain of command and insist that others do so. While the board is eager to listen to its constituents and staff, each inquiry is to be referred to the person who can properly and expeditiously address the issue. Anybody put a star by that one?
I don't. I don't really like the first sentence.
Why is that?
I don't know. It just sounds kind of out of place. I mean, the rest of it makes the point that, you know, that we agree to follow the chain of command.
Mm-hmm. Remember, these came from another board, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would agree. I don't know why you need
that. Okie dokie. Take it out?
Take it out. You're out of there.
Okay, the board will address its behavior by a yearly self-evaluation and by addressing itself to any individual problems, such as poor meeting attendance or leak of confidential information. We should do that.
Good governance.
It is good governance. Mm-hmm. So if we put it in our policies, we will commit to doing that. Okay.
I don't know if you'd need it here, but you might want to put it somewhere for your own reminder. A good time that a lot of boards do this on their own self-evaluation is when they are reminded that it's that time of the year when they need to evaluate the treasurer or the superintendent, mm-hmm. and then they go right into the next step of, and what about us? We've got to also be talking about us and how we're performing.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if we want to put that in the protocol.
Yeah, I don't think you have to, but you need to just keep reminded of that.
Right. It should be a natural cycle, I would
say. Yeah, it is. It's a good time to do it.
I agree. Okay, all personnel complaints and criticisms received by the board or its individual members will be directed to the superintendent. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everybody all right with that?
Yep.
All right. And the next to last one. The board will do their homework and improve their boardmanship skills by attending board training and networking opportunities.
Yes.
Do you have any wording change on that?
No.
Okay. And then I wanted to add one last one after talking with Bill and Cindy this week. And I guess since it's a board protocol, it kind of falls in with the superintendent, but I don't think that things should come in front of the major things like our forecast or voting on, I don't want to use that example, but bigger issues shouldn't come before the board before we've had at least a meeting to sit and talk about it and discuss it and stuff like that. I don't think voting on that same night you see something like that is appropriate. Mm-hmm. And we've done that in the past, and I don't want to continue to do that.
And I'd go even a step further, and because when I scribbled out something too on that one, of that superintendent and treasurer will present important and or controversial issues to the board for discussion at least two times before any vote is taken. The second time would be the second meeting. You have a discussion just before you were going to take your vote, so it doesn't slow you down any more than what we had talked about. You should have at least one meeting where you hear the full ideas that are behind this recommendation, especially if it's an important issue, the big stuff, and then you come back to the next meeting prepared to vote after that meeting's discussion too. So you really get two discussions.
That sounds like three meetings, though. Hmm. No, the way you read it sounded like two meetings.
Oh, it did?
It did to me.
Well,
No, I agree. It sounded like two meetings,
and then the next meeting you vote on. But you're just saying
that that second meeting
is the discussion.
No, I'm saying if you wanted to, in the second meeting, discussion, you could vote right then. Right. Now, you could run it to three if you wanted to. No, I didn't. I'm just saying the way you read it, it sounded like three meetings. You know what I mean? You have to do two meetings, then at the third meeting you would vote on. But
no, I just meant two discussions. Probably the second one will be in the second meeting.
Okay.
You don't want to drag it.
No. Right. No, then it starts to affect your agility to do business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Okay. All right. Those were my.
This is 19.
That's 19. Did you have any more that you wanted to add on?
Well, we from our discussion that we had, we talked about that there is some value in the board establishing maybe more formality about the business of the meeting. And we had said we thought it was a good idea to move to Robert's Rules of Order because that really does provide some semblance of order for the discussions. And then the second thing we talked about in our side discussion was that it also can be helpful, and I don't know if you want to be this formal, but it can be helpful to also say when we're going to speak and when we're going to speak back and forth with each other and have discussion, we'll do that by recognition from the chair, from the president. And so if I'm talking and Tracy wants to be heard next, she just signals in some way to the president that I want to be up, and he just makes note that she's the next one up. And then if I'm still carrying on and on, you know, maybe Amy wants to get in too, he makes note of that, and then I finish, and he can easily then turn right away and say, Tracy, you were next, you had something you wanted to get in on this, and boom, they go. As opposed to just being five friends sitting around a kitchen table talking to each other. This really is a business meeting, and the reason we brought it up to you was because it's especially helpful if you really do find yourself in a situation where your entire room is full of an audience, and especially if it's an angry audience, and it's a controversial issue. It really helps if the community has, for weeks and weeks or months and months, seen that this board operates on a very formal kind of basis. They hold themselves to some formality that keeps order, and it many times can help a board keep order if, in fact, the audience becomes really just very emotionally involved in an issue. So that was why we made that suggestion to you. I don't know if you want to do that, if you want that part of your protocols, or whether you want to think about that, but that was why we suggested that.
I'm not really sure I want that. Again, I think that's a good idea, but I think it's probably something more in practice we would probably want to do. I'm not sure if I want to put that in our protocols or not. I would leave it up to discussion, but I think it's something that I agree that's something we should do. I'm just not sure where to put it. I don't.
Yeah.
That's probably a better way to do it.
Well, and maybe you have to just think about it and think about whether you even want to do that or think you need to do that.
I agree.
That's up to you guys.
Sure. No, that's an excellent suggestion.
And then the last suggestion that we had for you was had to do with a consent agenda. That many times you have a board meeting, we have a board meeting where the action items are really run of the mill business items that you have probably had your questions answered prior to the meeting, and that you probably can take as an action item, you can probably take them as a consent agenda, all of them all at once, as long as it's always remembered that each board member has the right at any time to insist or to ask that any item be taken off of the consent agenda, because I have strong feelings about that. I intend to vote no on that, and I don't want to have to vote no on the whole consent agenda. And a lot of boards do that just to make that run-of-the-mill business part of their meeting just happen quicker so that the rest of their meeting they have more time for these kinds of discussions on mm-hmm. something that maybe is more important, or so they can spend maybe 45 minutes talking about the revision to the 5-year financial projection, because that's really important for mm-hmm. the board to have time to do. Mm-hmm. But maybe the run-of-the-mill business things you can do rather quickly. And so a lot of boards have gone to consent agendas when it works for them, but they always leave that out for every individual board member to be able to say, I want to request that item 15 be pulled off the consent agenda. That just means I want it voted for separately.
And typically that consent is just the bottom part of your agenda. It's not the mm-hmm. entire agenda. It's just
yeah,
your business section.
It's just
part
those
of
action.
Agenda.
It'd be like the treasurer's items and the mm-hmm. superintendent's items. Many mm-hmm. times those are just operational kinds of okay. things. Mm-hmm. And so you try not to spend a whole lot of time. I mean, you always want to have the board be able to be heard, but you don't want to spend too much time on it.
Right. Well, you read through them and then discuss the items on there and then move on. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yes, I would be all for a consent
yeah, like
agenda.
Too, yeah.
Yeah. Let's look into that a little bit, do a little bit of homework on how to best. I'm sure, I don't know, did you guys do it in Circleville?
We had basically once, yeah.
Yeah, just I'd like to look into that just a little
yeah.
bit.
We just did
yeah,
personnel.
Group.
Yeah.
I have looked into it somewhat, so.
I've seen a lot of them. I've just haven't put them in action. So okay. Was there anything else?
That's it.
Okay.
My only other request would be, like we talked about last time, and Sue had some examples. Just kind of once we get all of these done.
Right. I'm going to type them all up.
Organizing them into, because some of these, you know, certainly appear like to be a code of conduct. And some seem
absolutely.
Like a working agreement
sure.
between the board and the executive.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'll type them up and then I'll send them out to you, and you guys can send
right.
them. You, however, you probably have a better idea how to organize
them.
Those.
We do.
I know you do. I know you're chomping at the bit to get in there and move those around, son. So
instead of just willing.
But I think we can agree that these, you know, these pretty much encompass how this board should be operating at this point. So I think if we can get those sectioned off, I'd like to add those to our board policy. I'd vote those into our board policies. Not next time. We can read them over next time and look at them, and then we load them in our next our following.
And send them to Doug.
Yeah, I want to make sure we send them to Doug, and he gets a chance to look at them. So, okay, all right. Well, that covers that then. Fantastic. Now we know how we're supposed to be doing what we're doing. Yay! All right. Next up on the agenda. I need a motion to approve the February 23rd, the February 27th, the February 28th, the March 1st, the March 6th, and the March 12th meeting minutes as submitted by the treasurer.
I move to accept them.
Second.
Move and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, I need a roll call, please.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve the Treasurer CFO action items.
I move to approve them.
Second. Moved and second. Cindy.
February was pretty well short month, even though I had an extra day, but short month. Things went through pretty well. We did receive quite a bit of our tax advance more than I thought we'd get in the month. And settlement should be here this week, so we'll see where we're at. It'll give us a good idea on exactly where we are with real estate this month and what happens with that extra mill that was put on the for the bond retirement
mm-hmm.
and see where that helps us and everything. And we'll be able to see that, and I'll be bringing transfers to pay the bonds. Then next month. That's it. Any questions on the items I sent to everybody?
Any discussion from the board?
Not on those items.
Hearing none, I need a roll call then, please.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, the resolution to participate in the MEC natural gas program. It is recommended to approve a resolution authorizing to participate in the Metropolitan Education Council's natural gas program for a 5-year period under the terms and conditions, the natural gas and service agreement with the Consolidated New Energy Gas Division. Negotiated by the Ohio School Consortium and authorizing ratification of the agreement to terminate the full requirements, natural gas sales and service agreement with Energy USA TPC Corp. Need a motion to approve that, please.
Moved.
And a second?
I'll second.
Moved and second. Cindy, you want to touch on that first, and then I'll open that up for questions to the board.
Yes. We've been a member of the MEC Natural Gas Consortium for many years. It's done the district very well over the years. However, in the last few years, in the last year, basically, the gas price, natural gas price, has gone down. The consortium did a basic, what they call hedging, through buying of natural gas out because they thought the prices would be going up a lot more than what they did. And in actuality, they went down. So over the last year, MEC has worked with the other consortium members to work on a deal to get out of those hedges and the hedge to so that we could get out and have lower gas prices for the district. By doing this, our first year savings would be about $100,000, even with having to pay that one, having to pay the run out of the hedge. The hedge part would be half the districts and half the company that made the hedges for us at no interest.
So you say they're going to do this differently going forward? It's not the same?
Well, we're going to work with them to make sure. They did hedges at 80%, Mike? Or
They usually, by the end of the summer, they have 60% of the projected usage in the group. And then September, August, they'll play their card according to what the prices are doing. But there's discussions going on right now. Everybody's real nervous about hedging, but gas prices aren't going to drop much more. They'll go through the regular cycle. So if this contract is for 3 years for agreement, and we probably should consider at least the second year of the
So it's a 3-1-1, right?
Yes, it's a 3-1-1.
So is it different than this resolution?
No,
we have?
The resolution says 5 years because of it, but they're going to look at it 3 years, and then 1 year, and then 1 year. So
what's the out if at the end of the 3-year mark?
If the whole group feels that they need to get out from this, it will go.
So
or if we want to get out, we can.
That's, I mean, as an individual district,
yes,
we can pull
out at the 3 years also.
So, well, do you have any idea what the penalty would be if you want it out at the 3-year mark?
I don't think there's going to be any penalty. No penalty. Mike went to the meeting yesterday on it. And so
this $5.37, that's for the actual cost of the gas plus
transportation. That includes the actual cost plus our transportation, just like you would at home. Yeah.
And that's immediate savings of, will that net savings be next fiscal year?
Yes, next fiscal year, because we're still in the contract for this year, and so that'll go out for next fiscal year. So.
Gotcha. And then assuming gas prices stay the same, it'll,
yeah,
we'll still.
Exactly.
But even with that 60%, the damage to, you know, as opposed to 80%, you know, if
exactly.
the prices go up, the
exactly.
it plays a little less.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask if there are any, you know, open it up for even more formal discussions or any other questions.
Nope.
Ms. Devine?
I had my answer.
Mr. Greer?
I'm done.
I have no further questions then. So can I get a roll call, please?
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, I have, hold on. I have a lot of papers going on here. 1 second. I have the superintendent action items, but I need to find my addendum here. I got it. Okay, superintendent action items.
I'd suggest we take A, B, A, the district substitutes home instructors as needed, B, supplemental contracts, C, district volunteers, D, the renewal of the administrative contracts, which was your first addendum, and E, the resignation of the bus driver. And in suggesting that, I also want to point out to the board, because I'm not sure that you're aware, I think tonight we've given the audience the full board explanation of all of these items. So, for instance, the audience can read all of the comments, all of the paragraphs, all of the salaries, all of the costs, the same as you. We used to give them a heading, just a heading for each item. Now they're getting that same background information. And in addition to that, with the transcript or with the audio portion of the meeting, when we put that on the website, we're also putting up with it the full agenda also, so that somebody can look at the agenda themselves and then try to, as quickly as they can, get to the part of the board meeting that they want to listen to. And all of that, of course, is in just trying to continue your previous efforts toward just being as transparent as you can be to your community.
Yeah. Great.
That's great.
Good.
And I think that you may not have noticed also, but they've moved the comment for public participation. They've actually moved that out the door.
Oh, good.
So when they come in, they don't have to come up to the table to get it. It kind of, do you have a sign-in sheet out there, or just the regular form?
It's the form out. The form. It's a sign-in form.
Yeah. So I appreciate that. I think that actually will help us out quite a bit. So both of us. All right, then I need a motion to approve the superintendent action items A through D. A through E. Apologize. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Moved and second. Any discussion? Ms. Powers?
No, sir.
Ms. Devine? Ms. Greer?
No.
I have none, so I need a roll call then.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes. Motion carries. Okay, number 12. I need a motion to accept the donations from the district. I move that we accept the following donations from the Bunsell Middle School as listed. Any second, please.
Second.
Moved and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, I need a roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Any comments or questions from our members? I'll start from right to left. Mrs. Powers? Mrs. Devine?
The only comment I want to make is that just to let people know that Doug and I did attend a Finance 101 training.
Yes.
That was put on by the Ohio School Boards Association. It was a full-day training with more information than could fit into my brain. But I do have lots of PowerPoint present, papers at home, and it was excellent information. And we're trying to kind of recap that and maybe share that with our Finance Committee as well.
Great. Is there any way we can get a hold of that?
When we have it together,
okay,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, we'll share it with you too.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
She's going to be stingy until she gets it all down.
Yeah. Okay, was there anything else?
Nope.
Ms. Greer?
Nothing.
Okay, well, I have one particular item, if you can imagine. Starting at our next meeting, and with the help from Bill, we actually need to start moving on the superintendent evaluation. We need to start getting our goals set up and our objectives, kind of. That kind of process. Mm-hmm. And so in place of our operating protocols, we are going to start working on that. So when Diane comes on, we will be ready to go, and we should be able to fit her into that evaluation day one. Well, not day one. We'll have to talk about our objectives, but we'll be ready to go when that comes around. And probably the first thing to do is to get at least you two up to speed on really what that is and kind of maybe take a little bit of time to go through that. So, yes.
To
yes,
that
Mrs. Greer.
Do you have all of the documentation that goes along with that?
I do.
Because we didn't receive all of that the last time. So if you have the forms to use.
I can get all of that. And if you'd like, I can do a brief introductory summary of all of it, too.
That would be perfect.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if we could get that obviously beforehand, so they can look through it, and then we'll put that on our agenda for next time as the kind of an introductory to that, and get moving on that.
Maybe we can also talk about getting some presentation set up towards the governance leadership team.
Such as?
We could do fiduciary duties and ethics.
Have someone come in and talk to the board about it?
Yes, or, Bill, if he could, get some ideas of what we would like to see.
I would like to do that. Yes, I would. I'd like to do that in a working session, though. I think that would be more appropriate doing a working session than a... But I think we should do that.
Yes.
I'm not saying we shouldn't do that, but I think at a working session where we can spend as much time and we don't have to have everybody out here going, really? It's interesting at all. It's interesting at all, but it's like 9 o'clock. But So I agree. Then let's start making a list of some of those things we would like to do and keep going. So.
Okay.
Any comments from the treasurer?
No.
From our intrepid superintendent?
Just good night.
Okay. Yes. Then if there's nothing else, I need a motion to adjourn then, please.
A motion that be adjourned.
I second. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Okay. We are adjourned.